Good morning, fellow soil physicists and hydrologists. My name is Malika Noko, and I conduct my field research in the Wisconsin Central Sands, a region that was made famous by Aldo Leopold's Sand County Almanac, and in present company, a region that was famed for the early research of C.B. Tanner in Vato zone lysimmetry in the energy balance. Now, on the right, on the left, you'll see I've taken a picture of some brook trout from one of the many trout streams in the Central Sands, and they're spawning here. And on the right, you'll see I took a picture of an adjacent irrigated potato field right next to this trout stream. Now, in the Central Sands, 80% of the total flow to the trout streams is base flow, and it's coming from the groundwater. And there are now over 2,000 high-capacity wells in this small region. So as you can imagine, there is a water management conflict in this area because the same water that's making Wisconsin one of the top three producing states for potatoes, sweet corn, peas, and snap beans is also causing severe water stresses to our surface waters. Now, in the 60s and 70s, hydrologists prophesized that if irrigated agricultural expansion were to continue in this region, the streams and the lakes would run dry. And over the past decade, this is what we've been seeing. And both water managers and scientists in the region conceptualized the water budget as P minus ET is equivalent to net recharge. And we conceptualized the reduction to the groundwater as a reduction in net recharge. However, not very many large-scale field studies have been conducted to actually measure net recharge from irrigated agricultural systems. And this is my research goal. So I installed 25 passive capillary wick lysimeters in a sixth-generation family farm in the Wisconsin Central Sands in six different cropping systems. And I also took many different supplementary biophysical measurements. And I'm really excited and happy to share with you some of my results from this field season, this past field season. Now, on the left here, actually, both of these figures represent data collected from 8 of the 25 lysimeters in two different potato fields. Each colored bar represents a different lysimeter, and all of the blue bars represent precipitation. And the right axis is leaf area index. So I would consider the field on the left side to be a well-behaved field. We could do a good job predicting net recharge if we had a validated ET model. However, if you take a look at the field on the right, you'll see that its recharge behavior is erratic. It doesn't really follow up with crop phenology. And we wouldn't be able to do a good job predicting net recharge with a validated ET model using P minus ET. So what's going on here? What could be some of the possible missing explanatory variables? Topsoil texture. Now, this is a counterintuitive result. To me, it was. And I found a significant negative linear correlation between sand in the topsoil and net recharge amongst all 25 lysimeters over the course of the growing season. And I have two hypotheses for what's going on here. One, antecedent soil moisture. Increased antecedent soil moisture to fine, relatively speaking, finer textured soils is causing increased drainage during irrigation and precipitation events. My second hypothesis is flux convergence over the scale of the field, and that basically flux convergence is occurring towards relatively finer textured soils in the field. Now, if you would like to look at the net recharge data from my other four cropping systems or just speak about the nuances of my lysimmetry method in general, please come visit me at my poster. Thank you.
Do we have any questions for Monica?
Absolutely. I used it's the G3 lysimeter made by Decagon Devices. It has a passive capillary wick, and that's what maintains the constant head boundary or the constant water potential. And it's negative 11 kilopascals or negative 1.1 meters, which in the Central Sands region coincides with field capacity. So we feel that this is a fair assumption for that lower boundary condition.
Did you take
Yes, actually. So I think that when I say flux convergence, what I'm thinking of is like subsurface runoff that's occurring during the event. I have not yet considered hydrophobicity, though, so that is a good suggestion. Well, in this region, I actually there's very little clay. So clay, when I conducted all of the regressions in both the topsoil and the subsoil with looking at clay particle size, there really there wasn't anything significant. So what I see is the reverse relationship exists for silt. So as there are subtle increases in the silt content, there are subtle increases in the drainage content.
Marcus, have a question?
Yes, the depth of, oh boy, this was tricky. The depth of the recharge measurement is 1.4 meters. So I did install the lysimeters below the crop rooting zone, which was challenging. And I'd love to talk to you all about it if you come see me. That's a good question. Well, the way that I'm doing my water balance at this point over the cumulative growing season, I am neglecting the change in storage, so I'm neglecting delta S. And the way that I am calculating evapotranspiration is as the remainder of the balance. So that term is now holding the error of all of the other terms. And as far as comparing that to the modeling results that have been done for the region, it's fairly consistent with the values that we've seen from these crops. However, most of the modeling that has currently been done has been done without the physiological underpinning and validation that needs to go into those models. So a lot of reference ET types of models, where what we're trying to collect through this entire research project is some physiological data, so model conductance, the leaf area index, to validate a model that has physiological underpinnings in this region.
Thanks, Malika. And if you have any more questions, we can visit her posters in the afternoon.